Just as an update, we are working on three searches just now, one for organist and associate director of music, one for director of children's ministry, another for a preschool director. We have two of those three in process, and so I thank all those who are on those two of the three search committees. The one that we are still searching for, and again, the others aren't final at all, but we're in process, is the director of children's ministry, is the one we're still looking for candidates. And so I share that with you because we are moving forward, and two out of three is not bad to be working on. The sermon this morning is entitled, Sing Your Hearts Out, and there are two readings. The first comes from 1 Samuel in chapter 16, a familiar story about King Saul. And then I'm going to read from the book of Colossians in the New Testament, but instead of reading from the New Revised Standard Version that I usually do, the Bible that's in the pew, I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message Bible. Eugene Peterson was a Presbyterian pastor, and he paraphrased the Bible into this Message Bible, as it's called. It's a wonderful study Bible. And so I'll be reading from it this morning. It is unique. So listen first as I read from 1 Samuel 16. It's a story where David plays the lyre for King Saul. A lyre is a small U-shaped harp with a bar across the top of it. And he was known to have played that. And this is the story beginning at verse 14 in chapter 16. Now, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, See now, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servants who attend you to look for someone who is skillful in playing the lyre, a small harp. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will feel better. So Saul said to his servants, Provide for me someone who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a warrior prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, Send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a kid, and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. And whenever an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. And Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. And then as I promised in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, these words from the Message Bible. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for this time together this morning in which we reflect on your word and the gifts that you provide us in worship. This morning, O God, help us to celebrate that you alone are the Lord of our consciousness. You help us in every decision and you guide us in those decisions that we are called to make. And so be with us this morning. And we know that you will be. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I have just discovered the lip of this new podium is not big enough for my notes, as we thought it might not be, so I've learned my lesson. During the months of June, I shared with you about the wondrous gifts that we receive from this hour together in worship. You remember that, I hope. We have experienced these gifts firsthand. The gift, for example, of a quieted soul from coming together for this hour of worship. I have, and I know you have at times, experienced the gift of an encouraged heart from something that's said or something that's sung, something that's done in this hour, like today, the Lord's Supper. And there are times when we have been inspired, when we have been deeply moved by some act of worship. We have also been exploring then in recent weeks, in July, we did this. We looked at the things that we do in worship, that we do regularly in worship that can help us in gaining knowledge and wisdom and guidance. And we looked at the first two of these as reading the Bible and praying. And this morning, as we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper and the gift of God's love and remembrance of how salvation comes to us, and we celebrate it at the table that it comes to us in Jesus Christ, we consider then, at least for a little while this morning, God's gift of music. God's gift of music. And so first of all, I want to say to you this morning that I have always believed, as many of you have believed, that music is God's gift to us as human beings. But even more than that, it can often be good medicine for us when our spirits are low to listen to something that soothes us. Some of you will remember the famous quote by William Congreve. He was an English poet born in the 1600s, and he said this, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage beast." It's true. In our reading from 1 Samuel, we discover this was certainly the case for King Saul. Saul was a powerful king, and yet he was racked with jealousy and lots of fears. He was deeply troubled as a man, and he was prone to sudden fits of temper. And apparently these anxieties would come over him, and we are told in the passage that he had an evil spirit from time to time that tormented him. And some of his court, as we heard in the passage, suggested that Saul find someone, and that person they find to be a person who was a musician to play for Saul when he was troubled. And after a search, they found David, the shepherd boy, who auditioned for the king, and almost immediately King Saul loved him. He made him his armor bearer to keep him close by to him. And sure enough, David would play music when the king was troubled by an evil spirit and King Saul would feel better. It's a wonderful story. Perhaps the songs that soothed King Saul were those that David wrote in the psalmist, in the Psalms, the center book in the Bible. Those psalms that are calming, like the 23rd Psalm or the Psalms of Victory, the psalm, like we said in the call to worship today, Psalm 100. Psalms that relieve the king's distress. They're wonderful songs, the psalms of the Bible. And so they are gifts from God. But secondly, let's give thanks to the music that we enjoy that helps us to be more peaceful people in the midst of the stresses of life. That's a gift of God we need just now. The pandemic has often become politicized by leaders in our country. I read the other day, I'm sure you have heard of it, that violence on airline flights has quadrupled in the last 6 months, more than the last 4 years. And 70% of this is usually because of the mask mandate and parents trying to feed perhaps a young child, and things get out of hand on those planes. So lots of violence. I had a dentist once that had a novel thing when I was a young person. He used to give me earphones to wear so that I would listen to music that would soothe my mind, soothe my body as he scraped and cleaned my teeth, listen to the Beatles or Broadway hits or movie themes. And this was fine until the dentist would always interrupt what I was listening to by saying, "Open wider, open wider." Did you hear about the U.S. Athlete, the Olympic athlete this week, who received a bronze medal in, of all things, street skateboarding? It was a new event this year at the Olympics. I would have thought it would have been in a long time ago. People have been skateboarding a long time. But this Olympic bronze medalist, Jagger Eaton, he apparently listed his Spotify playlist on social media. And he said that this helped him to focus and have a peaceful spirit in the midst of what was a stressful competition. I can only imagine jumping on a skateboard and trying to balance on one of those poles as you slide down. And so I thought maybe it'll help me this week. I've been a little upset, lost a little sleep this week. And so I listened to some of his music. I didn't recognize a bit of it. It's rap music. And I came to the conclusion that I need to get out more. Here is something that I know you've heard before. It has become fashionable in past years and even now for women during their pregnancy to listen to classical music. It is supposed to charm the listener and to charm the unborn child. As a matter of fact, studies suggest that it stimulates the IQ of the listener as well as increase the IQ of the unborn child. Now, I thought about that deeply in reflection because my mother was not a Mozart fan growing up, I do not believe. And she sang songs to me like songs from Tom Jones and Glenn Campbell and Elvis Presley she loved and cried when he died, and songs from Engelbert Humperdinck. How long has it been since you've heard that name? I remember my mother singing songs to my younger brother, who's 10 years younger than me. She sang a Karen Carpenter's song, On the Day That You Were Born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. I still remember all the songs she would sing, but my IQ is not as high, perhaps, if she had listened to Mozart. She is usually watching this morning. I called her yesterday and said I would share that story, that I needed a story like this to share. And then we reminisced about her playing those big 8-track tapes on a recorder just by the telephone. I remember where it sat. I play those tapes. And she used to sing to us. She sang to her 3 sons. I was the middle son. But I remember her singing, and her music soothed us. It soothed us. It soothed us when we were cutting teeth, when we were sick, or whenever we needed it. She sang. Well, we need not be King Saul to know that some music relieves the strain and the stress and eases a troubled mind when need be. But thirdly, let us also honor healthful music that affirms the triumph of the Spirit and all that is spiritual that we do here in this hour, especially as we live in difficult times. We need spiritual music. The music, the hymns, the songs we enjoy in worship, they do this. They can lift us up. They can be helpful to us. Anything less that doesn't lift us up is not worshipful music. But the music of the hymn, the anthem, an orchestra, the rhythm of a band, the playing of a guitar, a cappella singing, when the music points itself to the one we have come to honor, then we say, praise be to God. And we've all had that experience with songs in worship. And this is because music, as in some of the arts, like drama, for example, they help us to express often emotions and experiences that often can't be said just in words like I'm saying this morning. We need music. We need music like the hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Or like in the traditional service this morning, When in Our Music God is Glorified. It's a wonderful hymn. Or in our contemporary service as it ends today, singing How Great Thou Art. I hope you'll sing it with all your heart. How Great Thou Art. It's a wonderful song. And I want to say to you this morning that as pastor, I know that we come on Sunday for this hour of worship. We all come with different needs. We all come with different needs. There are some who come with sorrow, some with worry, some with grief. There is sometimes self-pity. There is sometimes pride that we bring. There is oftentimes happiness. There is often pain that we bring into this hour. And then we gather here. And when we do that and bring all that emotion here, we can stand and sing to the joy and the trust of God. And when we do that, I have found often that we lift ourselves heavenward, outside of the emotions that hold us back, that sometimes keep us in bondage. And we express that which we may not have felt if we had not come. It's good to experience joy. It's good to express trust in God through the songs that we sing. They're all affirmations of faith that I find. William James, who was the writer and psychoanalyst, he said once, to express an emotion not only lets it out, but it strengthens it. And that's what we do when we sing. We strengthen our emotion, our trust to God, our praise to God. And so we come to worship affirming our Lord, and that affirmation often in stanza after stanza, verse after verse in the song we sing, the songs we sing, help us to say yes to life, yes to joy, yes to trust in God, and yes to growth. In a deep sense, it is to express when we sing that all will be made well. All will be made well in my soul. It's like that line in the hymn, "This is my Father's world." It goes, "Although the wrong seems also strong, God is the ruler yet." It's an affirmation of faith and trust in God. And finally, as I close, let me say to you, music provides us with healing because it shares the miracle of love. A love that God gives us that conquers sorrow, that conquers loneliness, and that conquers even death. For love is the most powerful force in the world, especially when it is both tough and tender and filled with grace. And if we wanted to underline that truth on Sunday morning, the truth of the power of love, how do you think we might do that? How do you think we might express it? I'll tell you how. We would sing about it. We would sing about it. And each one of you has a song, I hope, that you will take in your heart today throughout this week and sing it. When the opportunity presents itself, sing that song to the Lord and sing it for others who need it. Sing your hearts out with it, I pray. Amen. Let us pray. And now, O Lord, as we come to your table, we ask you to prepare our hearts and minds that we might receive the gift of your Son in this sacrament. And so be with us as we come. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you this morning to listen to this wonderful invitation to the Lord's table. It invites us to come not because we are strong, but to come because we are weak. We come not because of any goodness within us, but we come because we need mercy and we need help. Come because you love the Lord a little. Come because you want to love him more. As we come this morning, we remember that at the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also on that evening, he took the cup, and after he had blessed, he poured it and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of you of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." Let us pray as we come to partake of his body and blood. Let us pray. O Lord, as we come now to partake of this bread and this cup, we thank you, O Lord, for your majesty and for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to deliver us from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. And you have freed us. And help us. He saved his life for ours. Help us to live our lives for others in all that we do. Give us strength, we pray, to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection comes for each one of us, with the redeemed of all the ages who will be raised. So we pray in your name as we come now to this table, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you now to take the cup or the bread and the drink you have prepared at home. If you're taking the little individual cup, if you break both tabs at once by pressing up and down, usually they separate easy, sometimes not. And then once you do that, tear off the top, and you will find the wafer. This is the gift of God for the people of God. Let us partake of the wafer. And then if you pull the second tab, you find the cup of juice. This is the blood of Christ, broken for you. Amen. Let us pray, giving God for this time at the table with Him. O Lord, we thank You for this meal that we have shared together. We ask You to bless us and our homes and lives through Your will. Enrich us in Your word to follow You all the days of our life, that we might one day dwell in Your house forever and ever. O Lord, there is one bread, and we who are many in Your name are made one body, for we all partake of one bread and one cup. May we be one in Jesus Christ as we go from here this day, singing our hearts out as best we can. In Christ's name, amen.